I'm so nervous. This is like one of the X-Men joining the Avengers for an issue.
AVX.
That can only improve the Avengers, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Wait a second. Hey,
we're well, to quote Patton Oswalt, they'll take anyone. They even have a guy with a bow and arrow.
Everybody has to have a guy with a bow and arrow because that's a kid's toy that you can't avoid selling.
Oh, good. And we're live on 5x5, so I should send out the push notification.
Uh-oh.
For 5x5 at the movies is now...
For 5x5 at the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the best of my knowledge, they haven't made movies about Lock and Key yet.
No, there was a pilot, actually.
Yes, and it's a pilot that failed, and they're now actively developing it into a motion picture, yeah. I'm told, by friends who know things.
Who was making the pilot? Or for what network?
I can't even remember.
This is on Wikipedia. I think it blew my mind when I read it. Let me pull it back up.
I think it was NBC, and they had Miranda Otto playing the mother.
That was one of the mind blowers, yes. The casting for the daughter was another one that was a... I'm still looking for that.
From a friend who has seen the pilot, he says that he's baffled that so many people he knows are totally over the moon for it. Because he thought it was not a very good pilot for potentially very good material that he wishes he had gotten the rights to.
Mm. It's a Fox TV show. Oh, Lord.
It's probably good it didn't work.
That's a very good
relationship with science fiction, too. So, and Fox by weird, TV I think it's almost abusive.
Fox TV can be a different thing, where if it's just Fox producing it, oh, that's fine. But if it's the Fox network, that's a... pile of worms.
Snake bit.
Oh, they had Nick Stahl as Duncan Locke. Oh, good Lord. They had Jesse McCartney as Ty Locke, and Sarah Bulger, who actually did really good work on The Tudors, as Kinsey.
You're going to have to remind me of these names, too, because I keep forgetting who's who.
Hold on, let me pull my volumes from the shelf.
So, despite all of our delays, yes. I did only manage to read the first series there.
The Welcome to Lovecraft.
That's the one.
Well, maybe what we'll do is we'll talk about it in general, and we'll talk about it in the specific. I think it's good because I think most people will have not read much, and I think it's good to for any kind of book club to say you can go out and read this one, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about where it's gone since then. And Jason, maybe you can if you don't want to be spoiled, maybe you could drop out. We could just say goodbye to you and keep going with the rest of it.
Snell and Lisa, you're both fully all the way caught up to issue 2 of Omega?
No, I haven't read
Omega. I've read all the way through Crown of Shadows, which is the third trade collection. Wow. I bought the fourth one, and this is going to sound so cheesy. I don't like to read it in the dark night because my imagination begins to run away with me, so I have to find like an uninterrupted stretch of time during like broad daylight to sit down and read it.
And Moises, I've read through Clockworks. I read Clockworks today, actually. Okay. So is
Clockworks number 5?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I flipped through that at the store, and it looks like nightmare fuel. So
historical nightmare fuel that answers so many questions and injects information that I didn't know that I had a question about.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
the way you're all talking, it sounds like it gets darker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It does. Excellent.
Should we maybe start this?
Yeah,
we probably
should. And Moises, can you pronounce your last name? Because I will butcher it otherwise.
Sure. That's why there's a pronunciation guide on my business cards. The first name is Moises. Think of the accent on the E. And then the last name is Chu Yan. The double L is pronounced like a Y.
Chu Yan. Okay, I was going to do it right. Moises Chu Yan.
But
you get in my head. I start to overthink it.
That's the thing is...
I'm from California. I know how to pronounce words with two L's.
You're from California. You know how to pronounce Cantonese and Spanish. Not usually at the same time, but that's what it is. Short, tiny little thing that I always throw out there for people that get the pronunciation guide. My Cantonese grandfather emigrated from China to Cuba in the 20s and added a Spanish language suffix to his last name to try to make it sound more Spanish, and he only made it more unpronounceable. But it
That's
was
delightful.
Really easy to get my last name .com
yeah.
So that no one else could. Yeah, we're gonna reboot Comic Shack again. We're gonna call it Savage Comic Shack, and then and then Giant Size is gonna be Uncanny Giant Size.
That's sure. You got all the adjectives.
That's the only thing that I could hope for.
You need a max in there.
The Incomparable is a podcast that has only an adjective.
Well, that's the thing, is I keep using that adjective to describe people. Like, I, you know, Giant Size is going live with the Incomparable John Allison. That's somebody else's show. I felt terrible.
That's actually the source of the name, is that Greg Noss was obsessed with who was referred to most often as the Incomparable something, and he did Google searches and all that. Because
of course
he did. Because he kept seeing, wasn't it Alec Guinness that was, I think, he kept seeing the Incomparable Alec Guinness over and over again. And anyway, then the domain was available. So we took, it's hard to find a .com. And we're out. See, I feel like that was a whole show. We didn't even need to get into all the twists and turns of later locks.
That was like an hour and 20 minutes
and keys.
Of the show.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When it all gets edited down, that'll probably be like an hour. But yeah.
That was a stout, meaty, protein-filled episode.
Yeah, there was lots of stuff.
Well, it's a stout, meaty, protein-filled series. Yeah. So that
and then what are you reading is always good for 15 minutes. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So do we have a next time?
I am so sad about Archer, because it's the end of an era, and I will be honest, I've relied on Vertigo to kind of filter my reading list for the last 10 years, and that's not going to happen anymore.
So you're sad about what again? Sorry,
it's Karen Berger.
Oh, Karen Berger. I didn't know if you said Karen Berger or Hellblazer, because they could technically
Hellblazer,
end the
please
same.
No, Hellblazer got folded into the universe.
Yeah, I'm still not happy about it.
No. I always have a hard time reading it, just because he was so explicitly modeled after Sting in the 1980s, and I can't shake that association.
So what should
that look still works?
So what should we do? What should we do next? We were going to do She-Hulk, and did we ever do She-Hulk? We never did. Did we?
No, no. We
and I
we
read them.
I read them too.
Yeah. I find her to be a problematic character, so I would love to talk about that.
And
just
She-Hulk and all the other Hulks. The Hulk family.
Lucky Charm Hulks.
This sort of makes me want to read the Hulk. Wasn't there, he was like the ruler of his own planet for a while?
Oh, Planet Hulk. Yeah, Planet Hulk is great. That's
you
a classic.
Go Planet Hulk, then that's you go World
story.
War Hulk, then you got Incredible Hulks.
I'm not a huge Hulk guy, but Planet Hulk is, I bought the hardcover. It's really good.
Because that's the retelling of the Micronauts.
Micronauts, yeah.
Yeah, well,
zing! We got it. Late, right under the wire. No mention in the actual podcast of the Micronauts.
We were going to talk about She-Hulk by John Byrne and She-Hulk by Dan Slott.
Right.
In the two different comedic takes on the same character.
Yeah, I read them. I would be happy to do that. We could schedule that.
The John Byrne one I'd love to talk about for sure, just because that's such an artifact of its time, too.
Yeah. I really like the Dan Slott.
John Byrne stuff is an artifact of its time.
Ouch.
That's one of the reasons I enjoy it now, is you're like, oh, we were so young. I feel that way about Sandman's art, too, because I went back and reread it, and I thought, oh my god, the art on this. And, you're like, yeah, that book was written during the early 90s.
When you look at the digital versions of some of these that you can get on Comixology, you know, the quality of paper that they were printed on in the first place, they didn't look that great. But when they have the benefit of full-on computerized pure white, they look totally different. And you look at them and you go, wow, someone got paid to do this. Huh.
Yeah.
Weird.
The color on some of those, it's like you could see that they're trying to override the off-white newsprint, and then the digital version is like, oh my god, my eyes.
All right, so do we want to schedule this?
I'll send out a note, and we'll see if we can find a time and schedule the next one.
Since now we can do these anytime, day or night.
I know. Day or night. 3 a.m.
Sleeping a decent hour. It works out wonderfully.
That's beautiful. Okay, yeah.
I'm pretty worthless on She-Hulk, even though, you know, aside from generalities. But I gladly and happily welcome any of you guys onto Comic Shack whenever you want to, since it's...
Moises has a whole podcast that's just about comics.
Just ask.
Yeah.
Two of them. One that's creator interviews and a local shop chat each week, and then the other is just kind of roundtable. And we technically skipped last week because Dan didn't let me know until Friday that he didn't have time to be on it. So then I went and found a replacement guest, and he and the other guy, their schedules didn't match up, so we didn't get to talk about Batman New 52.
We're trying to change it up so that it's not about Spider-Man and Saga every week.
Right. Well, I didn't even mention Saga, which I also read, but in my long-term goal for doing comics episodes of Incomparable is, you know, every 4 or 5 weeks and have it be very book clubby of like, it's a trade you can get. So that if you're not somebody who's reading comics every week, that's fine.
If you don't have a pull list.
Exactly. Just like, what were the people who are not that into it, but are into it enough to get a book we recommend or, you know, in advance, something relatively easy to get and look at. Like Lock and Key Volume 1, right? So
That is the exact format and style that I stole from you.
Yeah, well, enjoy.
So we should either do a Hawkeye or just a general Matt Fraction.
I'd like to do the Hawkeye one just to get started.
I have things to say about Hawkeye from the classic Hawkeye miniseries, which is in my garage, where he goes deaf.
Oh, that's interesting.
And also then he was in the West Coast Avengers.
He was the West Coast
Avengers. That was a great run. You know what? People hate on West Coast Avengers. That was a good book.
It started out fine. Yeah,
it's getting the omnibus treatment.
That's true. It did start out fine.
I think that was the high point for me of Hawkeye. Well, maybe this new series is good too. But of Hawkeye, that Hawkeye miniseries. There were some of those miniseries that Marvel did in the whatever. I guess that's the '80s. The Wolverine miniseries, the Hawkeye miniseries, where you know they took these characters and you're like, oh, you know, oh that you did something interesting with that character. But when miniseries were, you know, new. Now they're not new anymore.
Now there are seven of them going on at the same time as everything else.
All right. I think I'm going to shut off the thing. Thank you, 5x5 people on the thing. Goodbye.